a silvered vision glimpse of some other place, a location apart from it all. The ability to think about my voice is all you need, to be elsewhere, to temporarily slip your bonds, or at least some of them, and journey to other places, leave the safe and lazy body behind. We will now commence an exploration of other places. Now is the time when you listen to me, and that listening lets you explore yourself, your capabilities, what might happen to you if your mind gets a little too curious, and if your body is too hungry for sensation. Maybe you ought to have gotten off before you put your body down, to keep the more sexual kinds of dreams away. Maybe it's the case that you should have left certain imaginings out in the wastes of what could be, instead of inviting them here, to the very fertile ground of the real, your mind, what's presented. Turning your gaze away is impossible. You love my stories. You'll love this one too. Your curious brain brings you drifting back, following me, carried along because you know you'll see something that will spark your libido, ignite your arousal, allow you an opportunity, maybe even to get some relief. So stay a while and hear a tale of some other place, seeking perhaps the memory of exactly what will be lost to you, but seeking something. You hear me and you see before you the possibilities. Ice and snow, but your body curiously warm among them. You feel it. It's as if you were prepared, or some greater purpose held you aloof from the cold and wind, and made you able to see as well. Able to explore and walk, journeying old pathways that few have ever dared tread, and that you, now, no, have been untread sometime by the smoothness of every snowy contour of this valley, and ahead of you, of that mountain. Curiously icy for the area. The snow isn't always here, but this just seems to be made of it. More glacier or iceberg upthrust from some small land lake. And the moment you had that thought, you realize there's a bridge to get into it. Ice and snow and a cave, and darker at the base, an ice cavern sloping down into vast structure. Below ground, proceeding down an icy tunnel, the chill is there, and then it's gone. Because while at first you were still a little cold from outside, now the air has gone from merely warm to positively moist and cloying. The air is full of heat and dripping with it, hot spring level heat. There's no real escaping it now. In fact, you find yourself loosening your clothing just a bit. After all, you need freedom of movement, and there's undeniably something about this warm steaminess that puts you at ease. You walk forward a few steps, one and then the other. Your mind is a little more in the moment now. You look back, making sure that the cave entrance is still there. And of course it is. As you walk through, some of the walls are ice, the same dark, dark blue ice cavern, yet it's warm. The sauna, the wind and snow outside are forgotten, except for how they must be channeled over volcanic vents to make the sauna steam of these tunnels. Some parts of the walls are stone, and these drip with steaming water. On these you see carvings, blue that glow from deep within, or plainer stone and dust, in the shape of various symbols, sigils, runes, some of them unfamiliar and disquieting, some familiar and therefore disquieting. You walk past and find carvings of creatures, what look like squid, octopi, ancient things, carvings of plants, a perfectly beautifully rendered etching of a flower next to an etching of a man, erect cock showing, something, a vine, a tendril from below, rising from the stone. The part of the carving with the most detail is the erect penis, wrapped in the flower, affixed to that vine, contoured so tightly the veins are drawn through the flower petal surface. throbbing, the penis at work. You could almost believe people really did have sex here once. Certainly it's warm enough, and the only place around that is warm enough. Almost balmy enough you'd take off your outerwear, now that you notice it. The curved shape, the gripping tendril at the tip, nothing more other than. There's some figure in a mask as well, overseeing whatever process of penile milking is being depicted in the carving. You know there are plants around here that feed that way, remnants of old experiments. There's something safe about this place, and that's the other reason you could believe that maybe people took refuge and had some fun here. You are wanted here. You have purpose here. This is clear. So you keep walking. A carving of the hooded figure with the mask from the prior mural, the one overseeing the milking. In this mural, their breasts are plainly on display, and their long, thick, erect nipples are being turned so they can suckle at them, guiding tendrils as well, like the ones that milk the penis in the other mural, onto their nipples and breasts. You're turned on at the very image of what's in front of you and just have to see what lies further in. You walk, and then you hear bubbling. You notice there's sauna steam in the air for real. You hear wind further ahead through the corridors, and you see in each of the four corners of this broad stone and ice chamber, this warm, safe-feeling chamber below the earth, this place that called for you, there are cauldrons on chains hanging from metal hooks in each of the four corners of this room, cauldrons with fire blazing below, somehow never melting the ice, cauldrons bubbling with smoke, with steam, filling the air with vapor that seems to royal imagery. You walk toward one to inspect it. The cauldron in front of you, you gaze inside. Something is obscured by the smoke and the bubbles on the surface, but you see a face. Blue skin, dark blue lips, cloth obscuring her eyes, a broad-brimmed hat or some other kind of ornamentation jutting to the right and left of her head, descending a veil, concealing her. A glimpse of massive cleavage as well. She smiles, a smile that expands to wicked, fanged teeth. You start back from the reflection in the water, and then check again slowly, but the vision is gone. Interesting enough. You keep walking, turning away from the cauldron, heading toward the opposite wall, the opposite gateway, but there's nowhere further to go, it's just an alcove. Strange for such a large complex to end so soon. To end in a dead end. Then there's a sound. Sliding. Sibilant. Whispering. Square outlines appear on the east and west walls. They slide open and reveal doors, which swing inward. Hidden doors. Strange and icy, walking in two women wearing long red cloaks with hoods. Beneath the hood, you see half-masks from the nose up, a skull pattern. Their mouths show. They smile at one another in recognition. Their breasts are on display. In fact, they're wearing nothing but that cloak and that mask. Some gauntlets, but these show their fingers and their soft palms, clearly, and exquisite black garters. An eclectic look, byproducts of a knight getting dressed in a hurry. They walk nearer, one to each side of you, leaning in, brushing their lips against your cheeks, warming you, for they are the source of the warmth down here. Or at least they reflect it, radiate it. Their hands explore your body, pulling away your outer vestments. You lean into their touch because they are desperate. They are sensual. They're growing aroused by your mere presence. It's warm. It's comfortable. They breathe deeply, lean in. One runs her tongue up, kisses up your chin, licking, tiny bites. The other gropes around the front of your body, grabs you, pulls you close, rubs her breasts over your forearm, leads you, tugging you, arm between her breasts. Oh, but you must meet our mistress. They do not say, but you seem to remember them. indicating they will take you to the mistress of this place, and so you are following them. You follow warily, but you'd have no chance to get away from them in this place anyway. So follow you do. The further you go into the dungeon, the warmer it does get. But you know it is only the suspension of the cold affecting you. This is a place of stillness and entropy. Ironically, you are the most vibrant and living thing in what turns out to be a bustling underground metropolis. There are many attendants, and what appear to be visitors like you, each shadowed by an attendant. As you are led toward a vaster room, you spot one of them being pushed against the wall by an attendant gently. The attendant has removed the small veil that covers her eyes, and a faint blue glow is boring gently into the other man's gaze. You watch slowly as he falls under the attendant's influence and smiles, dragged along now in more of a daze, but toward the same place he was going anyway. You are led forward. The air here is dripping with heat. Hot spring-level heat. The icy walls begin to drool. You loosen your clothing. You need freedom of movement. There is undeniably something about that warm steaminess putting you at ease, finding muscle knots you barely knew you had, and rubbing them out. The warmth. The heat. The carvings gorgeous on the walls. The further you go, the more this does seem to be a place of great interest. You suppose you can meet its ruler. They are leading you there. You could turn around and go. Blazing flame brings you back to reality. Cauldrons suspended over smokeless fire in blue and purple. You walk toward one to inspect it. This room is obviously where they were taking you. Gazing inside, you see a vision. Rigid erectness you recognize as your own, piercing the slightly closed lips of a nonetheless eager sex. You learn this when, in the vision, the flared head of the glands presses into that passage, parting lips that were glued together with sexual lubrication, a wet, deep sound as it pushes in. And there's a moan as your cock from the future, from the past, is visualized on that screen, on that water in a cauldron, on that scrying pool. But somebody felt it, something, unseen because of her stillness, obscured by smoke and the bubbles on the surface, a lurid sight emerges from the dark. Voluptuous hips, a grin, a broad-brimmed hat or some kind of ornamentation, jutting like icicles to the left and right of her head, hanging a veil like what the attendants wear. The rest of her is bare. She has nipple rings, and to these are anchored chains. She must have some other piercing lower down, for there's a chain there too. There's a glimpse of her massive mammaries, huge tits bouncing as she gets close. You dream of your length buried between them. You hear another little moan and gasp, your fantasies brushing off her brain somehow. You look at her body, openly coveting it, blue skin, darker blue lips. Cloth obscures her eyes, you imagine they're blue too. A glimpse. And that's all you get because she's moving toward you, eagerly. Her now unobscured shape in plain view. Smoke rises from those cauldrons and fills the room, but its pleasant aroma puts you at your ease. And she looks so turned on, so in need as she peels your pants out of the way and stares at the springing erectness. She moves in close and inhales the warmth of your skin. The heat of your length, the droplet of pre-ejaculatory fluid freed from the arousing nature of this place, she licks that up, wicking it with a forked tongue. The two attendants come behind you, desperate, sensual, warming you still further, kissing behind your ears, whispering in them. In front of you, The queen is grasping your length, guiding its tip against her inner thigh, using it to push her pussy lips to the side, closing that entrance on purpose, backing up her sticky sexual fluids in there, making herself hotter and drippier for you, using your cock as a prop, the penile length pressing those lips to the side. She takes the tip of your head and pushes it against her clitoris, prominent, blue-skinned, its hood pulled back. She rubs the tip of her against the tip of you and shivers. You're big and you're hot and you dwarf her nub as you push it against her body, and she just shakes, undulates, moves in an impossible way, using you for pleasure. She is so skilled, you know she could get off with anything. You are in some senses a prop. And from the hungry glare she's giving you, deeply, impossibly essential. She doesn't give you a break. She doesn't give you even a second to pause. She slides that tip down from her clit against her wet entrance and dives onto you. Your outer vestments are stripped by the attendants, which just means the long muscled arms of the queen, her breasts which dwarf your head and surround it. And then her leaning down, leaning in, contorting her body so she can bring her long tongue to your lips, kissing, licking, tiny, searching bites from someone desperate and ancient. She probes the muscles of your body, her fingers supple, her nails painted a darker purple as they draw through, calibrated to bring you sensation. Good. Fuck her. Rut in her. Come in her. Breathe deeply in her. Her fingers search you, you, hard, aroused, tingling, encapsulated. And that trick she did to make her juices bunch up, it worked. They pour down your dick and anoint it. You're almost tempted to release right there. It's been too long since you got off. You're leaking, standing there in the sauna warmth of two attendants snuggling you, of her in front of you, of her guiding you to her throne, which is padded, the only thing that looks like a real piece of furniture here, comfortable. One of the attendants sits down and you're settled on her lap. You feel heat radiating from her dripping sack. You see the queen stand in front of you, that cavern slipping away from your cock when you're pushed into a seated position, but now level with your face, her warmth. Her skin is faintly inked with sigils and inscriptions. You see them glowing as she comes near her. Nearer. The walls as well, from within, blue from within. She covers your eyes by kissing you deeply, leaning in close, putting a hand there. It is then that you feel what you think at first must be fingers, but the long, sinuous, prehensile thing is making a nest, a cage of tendrils around your cock, and seated as you are, in the lap of one of the attendants, tied down to the throne, your hands gently held, your mind, muzzy, fuzzy, arousal, need, ache, you want to fuck her, come in her, breed in her, take her, be taken. But you're seated, and those tendrils, whatever they are, you know now there's something sinuous at the base of your cock, the tongue of the other attendant, of the queen herself. Is it still her hand over your eyes? As disoriented as you are, pleasure, pleasure, pulsing, running, from all the powerful muscles that inform your length, that spasming, shivering impossibility. And then she lowers herself, so the tip of you, which is drooling and slathered and lubricated with the mingled, musky sexual fluids of her long arousal and your long-stored ache, your ripened, even the pre-ejaculate fills the air with the smell of sex. She pushes down, her lips still glued together by their tightness, their tautness having reclosed with the squeezing of her once she pulled you out. And those closed lips are pushing insistently, wantonly, against the very tip of the very slit of the very top of your cock, which is pointing almost straight up. Something holding the base, that tendril, an attendant's fingers. She lowers herself, and there's just that slightest torturous bit of resistance. You see a vision. You see two, in fact, before she plunges you down. In one path,
You let her surmount your cock while the tendrils and the attendants, that's who's holding you, bind you. You see, as if from above, her beautiful visage. She stares at you. Her tongue hangs out. She drools down her tits. It would be excellent. She would climax hard at length, and then she would install you in the machinery at your own request, and you could pump out energy for her and occasionally get to play with her personally, indefinitely. It would be an endlessly pleasurable way to exist. Subordinate, useful, knowing every time you achieve climax, you are releasing a wave of pleasure for her, of energy for her. You get to be part of her machine. She drops just a little, just an inch. You still have time to do the other thing. In the other vision, you take initiative. You thrust upward, which causes her to falter. You get released, you pin her, and then you thrust as hard as you can, as long as you can, holding out against an edge that is approaching as your big, hard length plumbs the depths of her, pushes into her deepest sanctum, and then expels the load, the long-stored energy of you, and leaves a mark on her in a way that even something like this would have to notice. That's your options. That's all you've got left to you, one or the other. Resist or serve, resist or serve, and you have to choose. She tilts her head to one side silently, quizzically, dark blue storm eyes focused on you as you just hold and hold and surrender, sublime. Your brain buzzes with it. She slips down. At first, her pussy perfectly glued shut by the pureness of her juices and by the fact she just pressed the lips together to make it tighter for you, has slipped off of you, and now plunge. Your cockhead spreads her lips, splays her lips, makes the juices inside, dammed up by her sticking together, paint your entire glazed shaft. Then the pressure and tightness in her skin as your big, thick, slow rod slides up into her, injecting pleasure into her body, inch by inch as she falls and takes you. Falls and takes you. Your mind almost leaks out with each deep drop of those hips, and she knows how to use them. You're being ridden. You're being ridden hard. It's sudden, and you're comfortable, and the attendants are whispering, yes, give it to her. She needs it. Flood her. Their voices echoing, synchronized, continuous. And every second they are whispering, you are succumbing, succumbing, but you're not coming. The base of your shaft, which she has sunk to without you thinking. So the tip of your cock is in the warm, soupy interior of her, and you're like, oh, it's not that. And then she squeezes. The base of her cunt becomes a cock ring. The deeper parts of her become a sleeve, tooled perfectly, biological and better than any silicone or device could be. You are within the grips of something made to make you succumb, make you come, make the cargo in your balls be expelled. You're in the grips of something with a design for you, a plan for you, and you are at the tipping point. The pinch of the hourglass, the part of the seesaw which does not move, the decision, what do you do? With pleasure rioting through your nerves, your very fingers and toes curling, eyes roll back in your head, unable to even see the blue majesty, but you do remember a smirk. Maybe that smirk is why you did it. Your hands, tingling with pleasure, barely able to move in the nigh-orgasmic, but definitely not orgasmic, coming is still far away, pleasure grabs her hips. You're going to take advantage of the fact that her body seems custom-made to make you go as long as possible without climaxing. Because in the simple math of lust, she loves it when you grab her. She looks surprised. When you push her back on the comfortable bed that formed out of nothing for the two of you, when you press her down into the four-poster, when you then are in a position atop her, you're still lodged inside her pussy. Her drippy folds are still enfolding you, and that cock ring effect is still in effect, which means you deep inside of her in that swampy, soupy, now squeezed sleeve deepness, being suckled by a body made to extract what you have stored for so long. And here, now, you are subject to that rule, But she's subject to the fact that you're on top now. And even though you're collapsing with pleasure, even though you're surrendering to that squeeze, you're atop her, which means you have the advantage of your weight. Torturously, and at great risk to the chastity of your overladen, overstuffed balls. Oh yeah, you'd been ignoring them, but her attendants haven't. They're behind you, breathing on them now, licking across the beneath, worshipping. Because yes, they want more than just your cum, more than just seed. They want the energy that's driving it. The pump of your hips is as alluring as the swell of your balls, but the swell of your balls is alluring. So much so that the reverie gasps from behind and below seem to come with a kind of dazed, not entirely focused attention. They're more rubbing their faces against your balls or pressing their noses or tongues to them than they are doing anything else. And a tendril moves up and wraps your balls right where they connect, right at that crux between cock and testes. And it squeezes there like a secondary cock ring, like those ones that wrap both balls and cock. And now you're trapped in both of their pleasures. But you've just dropped your weight because you've managed to pull half an inch out of her. Yes, even with them pressing against your balls, even with your leverage, you're out. And that means the dangerous half inch of you before the cock ring almost feels like it's going to squirt the cum pressure from within and keep it all balled up there and form a knot in your shaft. Nope, nope. So what do? That 1 inch is your only weapon right now. You do what any pressed upon, erotically fixated upon, tormented subject of the queen's desires would do. You let gravity take that inch back into her with all your weight. Her pussy pushes outward, the lips pressed out by the fact that your cock had begun to swell extra at the base, and so it presses her left and right, presses her lips wide open, and in the wide opening of her insides, you press inside. Now you're hilted, your balls move, and the two supplicants follow them. She, never before, yes, continue. She goes slack, as though afraid that if she exerts herself at all, it will cause you to stop what you were doing, to not do that again. In fact, her pussy loosens, and now you can pull 2 inches out with ease, slicked though they are with a copious honey that evinces her addictive and fiending hunger for your cum, for your energy, for the event of your orgasm, which you know will remake her, but which she suspects will only feed her, though she welcomes the remaking. Anything, anything more, anything for more. She keeps reassuring you and nodding, telling you to do what you have to do. Do what you must do, because she has now discovered something new. And she thought there was nothing new under the sun, which is true. All the new things are under you, and in you, waiting to blast her old world away. But despite her acquiescence, it's still rough with such a dripping, building pressure under the base of your shaft. You can still feel the licking, the breathing across your balls. It does only excite those sudden attacks of, oh, I could come right now. Those sudden thoughts of, oh, I could spurt my lust. Your virility is spurring her on. In this moment when you thrust deep and threaten to fill her with your cum, she knows that she still has the upper hand, and she's right. The pleasure is so much that if you climax now, you might almost fall asleep on her and be subject to her wiles and her seductions in such a way you would surely agree to stay. You know your sinful inclination to give in to your own ache. You know your tendency to go, oh, come on, you could come every day with gorgeous, yes, she's tempting you. Yes, she's, no. She knows you've waited long enough for this, and you know it too. If you're going to store it up for that long, you're going to come at exactly the right moment in exactly the right place to make her need your cock. And not need your cock as part of some machinery, as part of some instrumentation, but need you roaming, wild and free, and returning to her to stud her, to fuck her, to come in her so hard that your energy mingles with hers, and neither of you is the same beast as before. Her pussy tries to argue back, pushing against your cock, trying to press it out, but again, gravity is assisting you, and since she adores the shaft within her from the tip and its oversensitive little spreading ejaculatory ache where it's starting to go toward the base, it's starting to build in you, it's going to get there, that lascivious need, but then there's that big vein that supplies blood to it and the pipe inside that's keeping it erect and full and ready to exert everything inside of you. You focus your mind on her. You rub across her curves. You admire them in your mind. You grip her nipples and squeeze. And then, instead of taking one of them into your mouth as she's been urging you to do, dripping with some honey-like elixir, you take the long, firm, erect blue nipple and push it up to her lips. And she begins to suck on her own huge tip. It seems to grow enough that she can easily wrap her lips and just... She moans instantly, and the look in her eyes, previously inspecting you and quite sharp, turns to a smirking mischief. There's nothing there except waiting, waiting for that final thrust, that critical hit, that moment when you go deep enough that you feel satisfied letting it out. Because she is holding you with her cock ring pussy, with her sleeve-like cunt, with her dripping receptacle that has now learned the shape of your cock and you doubt will ever forget it. You are tantalized by the burden of your balls. Because yeah, in the back of your mind, it would be so good to finally let go. You've waited for so long, but you're only going to climax at that deepest point, and she's only allowing you to hang out just a little bit short of it, keeping you gripped with her pussy so she can be in reverie. That focus is dropping, though. One long suckle on her nipple, the working of her throat as she swallows her own glistening hypnotic elixir. You are about to inseminate this queen. You are about to take the monarch of this place and leave a mark on her everyone will be able to see. Her attendants are even tittering and giggling at how lax her legs are, how sweated her brow, how desperate the hand that is not holding a tit to her own lips. For once you let the breast go, she held it there unthinkingly. The other hand is massaging the other one, leading a trickle of her fluid to drool down the side of the huge, and because she's laying down, very spread out breast. A vast land of her blue flesh with a lighter, clear fluid. It smells like honey in here, like elixir, like warming drinks on a cold night. But you're more concerned with the warming recesses of her welcoming hole. You're so close. The joy of it, the way she's letting you go, you get what she was enjoying when she was overmastering you. But now within her, it's taking all your work to stay intact. This is high class and perfect pleasure. This is something she has trained to deliver. This is an anticipatory fall. You're going to climax. You are simply vying over whether the seesaw is up or down, whether there is sand left in the hourglass. You're going to be victorious. You're going to conquer this queen, and she wants you to. She's just nodding. She's holding her lips pursed to keep a wail, a moan, a scream inside. Her eyes are wide and unblinking as she stares at you, and she's nodding, nodding. It looks quite silly, but that long, deliberate spearing of her pussy, you raise her legs. This actually pushes the attendants away from your balls with a disappointed, aww. But then they look at what you're doing. You raise her legs over your shoulders, pushing her bountiful butt up onto the bed, kneel above her, and put yourself in the press position, angling her pussy, its deep entrance, its squeezing, cock-ring pleasure. And since she's been held onto you the whole time, she just has to deal with the fact that your cock is still inside her during this transition. Rolling her hips up like that rubs different sensitive spots inside that seeking, questing pussy, because yes, she's made to milk you dry. For her sustenance, for her purpose, for her magics, for her hunger. And because it's so hot when something is that hard and that full of need and has gone so long, of course one wants to simply make it spurt like the long waiting balloon you can't help but pop. And you do. The tip of you pops like a cork as you drop into mating press, your entire length inside of her, your balls once more displayed for the women behind you to lavish and lick and snuffle and suck. You within her, and she welcomes you, gripping with her arms, squeezing you between her breasts, having relinquished the nipple because her eyes are open, and then closing slowly. It seems it takes a long time, an almost glacial amount of time, for the pleasure to arrive for either of you. Because when you come, you're still dealing with the fact that her cock ring pussy and the licking on your balls and the long sleeve of her and her breasts against you and all of it is so much. And you haven't had this pleasure in so long. Your holding back is the very reason why your energies and your cream were alluring to her. Her role is to milk you. The pussy is made to milk you. But it is high class in every regard, built for this, made for this, modified, maybe over a long period of time. What you are inside is made to pleasure its owner, too. And so as you spear her, as you spurt in her, as the lava of self begins to erode under your molten spewing, spurting, squirt, just the first one, her eyes jet open, her mouth is moving soundlessly, uselessly, wordlessly, trying to form, yes, thank you, you don't know, you can't tell, but it's gratitude because the grin is not the impassive rule of an imperious monarch, not the rush in here, oh, there is prey in my domain, I will subjugate it. This is a thank you, as if on cue, as soon as you thought it, she says it. You spurt again, her whole body convulses, tries to move, but her legs are wrapped around you, her arms are wrapped around you, and you are pushing straight down into her pussy. She is pinned down by the spear of you, and her attendants, knowing her secret will, grip her sides and her thighs and hold her down. They're holding her down for you, at her behest. She nods as you think that, oh, she wants you. You think you can do it. What she wants you to do is very difficult, but you think you can do it. Your brain is white, hot, alight, spurting satisfaction, cannon blast after cannon blast within the deepest point of her. The hot cream of you is covering, coating, filling, being sucked up deeper inside her body by that hunger. You are hilted. She's capitulating, but it's more than that. She's doing more than surrender. She's rolling out the blue, squeezing, soaking carpet. She is ensuring that while she has you, you have her. Mercilessly. Even encouraging you, making sure you know, yeah, it's okay. That she wants you to take, in a pleasurable way, your most advantageous position to squirt as deep as possible. So you think, okay. It's going to take some work, and you know it has to be a surprise, a third pulse. You're glad you saved up so long. You have more than enough ammo to keep her drawn out. And you make the split-second decision to push backwards suddenly. The attendants are not behind your testes, so now you can pull out the whole length, oh, glistening almost out of her. No, you push just the head back inside. Now only the tip of your length in her. The queen looks at you as though betrayed. Until the fourth spurt, squirt, come fill. You paint her insides from the mouth onward, not spurting only into her deepest part, but right at the entrance to her pussy, you just squirt, and you know it's going to sit hot and heavy in the bottom of that canal until her body's natural orgasm. There it goes. She's coming around just the tip of your cock, but you remember, perhaps too late, that her pussy is made for this. Ordinarily, if she'd been fucked and you pushed just the head inside, then sure, she would have a spread open pussy for you to squirt in. This one becomes tight around the tip of your cock, around that little sulcular region just past the flared mushroom head, squeezing it, milking against that sensitive underside of the head of your cock, pushing up into it, pressing up into it, holding your cock head in there, and then milking it like a vacuum seal. It's like three pumps into your climax. You put it in a milking machine. And she keeps pulling till every drag is gone. But the pulling is shocked. Her eyes are wide open. Her mouth, too. The way you pulled out of the mating press and just squirted down into her, letting your cream fall into her with heavy, squirting, audible splurts into her wet, needy confines. More than need. This is a desperation and hunger driven by the reality that she doesn't think anyone else could manage that. She's not sure how you did. And then her body registers what you've put in her. Panting, spasming, turning on. What? Oh, more, please, again, in, more. The attendants have laid back on pillows of their own. They don't know what you've done. More in me, more, There's nothing in them. They're all empty, empty. Good job. You have permission to go as long as you bring back more of that, please. Put it in me. The girls will show you out when they're done. Coming, coming, we're coming, come, come. Afterglow, come, come. Thank you for visiting. I look forward to... touch, touch, hot, learn, cream. Thank you. Come again, please. And then you are shown out by the attendants. Their thighs are soaked, comically splashed with their juices from grinding them together around their hands as they rub their clits. Please, in us next time. No, the queen's imperious voice. They will not be cavorting with you. You are mine. And then silently, they show you out. You'll have to consider whether you care about that prohibition and whether you choose to return. A part of you wonders, what was down that other path?